cons.com website and YouTube channel, where we discuss cons, theme parks, collecting, and other fun stuff. It is February 10th, 2018. I'm your host, Sean. I'm here with Carmel.
Hi there.
Parks and Cons, your on-the-spot podcast, where we take you to the heart of the action of the best conventions and themed entertainment events around. Today, we are at the Hollywood Museum in Hollywood, checking out the Batman 66 exhibit, which opened up mid-January and is a temporary exhibit here. It's part of kind of their rotation of exhibits that they have at the museum. It's actually our first time ever visiting the museum at all, and I'm really glad we came out because although we've just really started here checking out the Batman stuff, I want to talk about that. This place is really awesome and has all sorts of things to look at and see. Very, very cool stuff. But specifically to the Batman 66 exhibit, I mean, it's got such this great combination of costumes, props, replicas, autographs, toys, just amazing costumes, all sorts of fun colors all combined, as is fitting for the Batman 66 TV series.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the different costumes and stuff that are here. They have various TV screens going, so you can see different parts of the show and stuff. So, it's pretty cool.
And the admission for the exhibit, as well as just the museum as a whole, is $15. They do seem to have some, you know, Gold Star, and as with everything in Hollywood, there's all sorts of discounts that pop up. But we were, you know, we decided to kind of spur of the moment and just bought our ticket at the door. So it's $15 each. And just the Batman stuff to me alone is worth it, although there's a lot more for us to see. I'm really curious to get down to the dungeon and check that out, which has some cool Halloween stuff. Now I'm really having even more regret that we weren't able to make it out here during the haunt season, because they had a cool horror haunt type exhibit going on during that season as well. But the exhibit itself is just filled with all sorts of stuff, where it's all sorts of really cool things to see in the area of Batman. We're doing a full video of the exhibit as a whole, so I definitely suggest checking that out. Especially, I mean, it's obviously a visual exhibit, but just all the colors. But real quick, just to kind of give a feel for things, as you walk in, I mean, there's lots of verbiage on the walls, descriptions, things on the shows, but the first giant case is just all sorts of Batman 66 merchandise, toys. Brings back a lot of memory for me. I mean, I was born in 76, so these are things I would see at swap meets and garage sales and thrift stores and things like that. The next big exhibit is our case is all of the villains, and all of them in all their nutty glory. And you got Egghead and Joker and various versions of Catwoman in there, some of the goons, Mr. Freeze, obviously Riddler and Penguin. There's a big case in front of it with all sorts of magazines and scripts and color forms. And then probably the most photographed of the areas is the Batmobile itself. The Batmobile, and they've got a couple mannequins. Again, all the costume characters in mannequin form. I shouldn't say mannequin form, some are wax figures as well. The Batman and Robin with the Batmobile. You've got Batgirl with the Bat Cycle. And then there's descriptions as you look about the... There's even the press release for the 66 Batmobile, the Bat Cycle. There's all sorts of fun little things of the verbiage used for pow, bam, boom, whack, smock, things like that. And then you've gotten the last major case is you have Dick Grayson, Bruce Wayne in their evening attire and their suits with the bat poles and the phone and everything else all just set up there as ready to launch down the bat poles into the bat cave. A great display with just the Rogues Gallery and many of the villains that appeared in the guest stars. Parts of the bat copter on display. Of course, the shark repellent here and batarangs all on display as well. So just so much to see. So I can't stress enough trying to get out to see it in person if you can, because there's just so many fun things to see. But if not, as I said, we do have a video up, so that might be a little bit of a taste for it. But it's just so colorful, and that was the thing about the Batman 66 series, very different than the interpretation of what Batman we get today. It was all about bright, crazy colors and silliness, and that's what this exhibit is. It really exemplifies that, and it's a really well-done exhibit that packs a lot of fun. I mean, you could spend a good 30 minutes or more, and they've got these great little chairs they're like little stools that are movable, so you could just like move, and we've seen some people doing that, moving these stools around, being able to sit right in front of exhibits and really take them in, read. They're highly photogenic, and it's just a great stop all the way around.
Yeah, now, admittedly, I don't know that I've ever even seen an episode of this in its entirety. I've seen chunks of it, and of course I've seen the silly highlights that we see periodically on whatever random place, but different aspects seem very familiar to me, but this doesn't have the nostalgia effect for me that it has for you, but it's cool, and I can appreciate the significance of all the costuming and stuff. And obviously we've been to various panels in the past where we saw Adam West speaking and Burt Ward and Lee Merriweather and all those great people, and so I understand the significance and I can appreciate it for that, but it doesn't have the nostalgia attachment for me that it does for you.
Oh, that's crazy. And I was thinking, because I've watched, I'm sure, all of Batman 66, but I've never watched it in order. I mean, that's never been a problem. It's just such a part of the fabric of childhood, of just it constantly being on TV and it constantly being like of the highest priority to watch. Back in those days we had Batman, we had Hulk, which was way more boring, way more of a downer. You'd get the occasional Spider-Man or Doctor Strange movie, which were really poorly done, but Batman 66 was really like the best thing live action wise on TV for me in terms of the superhero genre. And obviously it was a very different time than now, where we have things like a Black Panther movie rolling out, or obviously Batman as part of the Justice League and all these crazy things. But this is where Batman really, so much of the roots of what we came to know Batman growing up, if you were a kid of my age, was, and then seeing it turn so dark and gritty with the Frank Miller era and things like that as it made its way to Tim Burton in film and etc. It's all very different. But I'm super excited that we made our way out here. Really glad that we were able to check all this out. I think we'll continue to make our way around the museum. If there's anything else we really feel like we need to talk about, we'll jump back in after this. And if not, we'll make our way to the next stop. All right, we're coming back to tack on just a little bit more about the Hollywood Museum, because there was a lot more to see there than just the Batman exhibit, and we've never covered it before. It was, for both of us, the first time we've ever been there. We've walked by a number of times. We always park at the, there's a school across the way, Hollywood High School is across the way, and they do $10 a day parking. So we've parked here for a variety of things in the area before and seen it, but never really realized all that was in there. And so I was glad to take a little bit of time to be able to see that. The Batman exhibit was a perfect reason to come out and check it out. But I didn't expect to see three floors with all sorts of different things from pop culture. And I think the thing that surprised me the most was the range of things that were being celebrated. I mean, I expected to see Shirley Temple and Marilyn Monroe and Rifleman and things like that being celebrated there, but I didn't expect to see things like Transparent. There's a dress from the very recent show there, How to Get Away with Murder, Mad Men, Veep, all sorts of things that were really very recent as well, which indicates to me that they really are trying to keep an eye on pop culture, not just becoming an archive for things that are, 20 or more years old, but really trying to keep up to date and bring new exhibits in there as well, blended in. It's interesting just kind of on the marketing side, because again, covering all the types of stuff we do, there was a lot of stuff that clicked there, from Lost and Star Trek and Planet of the Apes and all sorts of haunt stuff, Walking Dead. And again, not that any of these were massive exhibits. The Batman exhibit was like the main kind of thing there on rotation, but lots of smaller displays that were really cool. And the fact that they've never come onto our radar is really odd. I think that there's a lot of stuff there to be, commended in terms of the types of exhibits they put together. And I know some of the feedback we got on social media just immediately was, you know, interested, and I think some interest is piqued on the things that they have to offer there. So I know for me that now is kind of in that rotation of places I'd like to visit, you know, maybe once a year come out and check out, because the classic stuff is classic, and it's always great to see, you know, the Mouseketeer things that they have there on display, and Beverly Hillbillies, and just Happy Days, so many things that, you know, are just iconic from, you know, long black and white TV movies being celebrated and things like that. But again, also the newer stuff, it's kind of neat to just see that there's these new things popping in there. And the dungeon in the basement with all of their kind of haunt horror stuff was a fun little inclusion too. So just, it was a nice mix of things, even if the Batman exhibit wasn't there. Very similar to when we went and checked out Ripley's Right Next Door or Hollywood Wax Museum and stuff. It's one of those things that's, it's just fun for me to kind of check out and see what they have, even if it wasn't for this specific event that we're here to cover today.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally stopped by there, and Mel's. We ate lunch there, and so, because, yeah, we've always gone by it, and I even reading the sign, I can't read the sign from where we're at, but it's something like the Hollywood Museum, and then it says something about the Max Factor something.
Building,
and I guess Max Factor was there in the past, and now it's the museum, but with the Max Factor thing on there, I was kind of confused as to what they even offered there. Like, obviously it said it was a Hollywood museum, but it looked kind of, I've just never been compelled to go in because it didn't seem like it would have anything that would be really of interest, which obviously now having been in there, that's obviously very far from the truth. Now, you said that you weren't expecting 3 floors of memorabilia, but there was actually 4 if you count the dungeon where the horror stuff was. So yeah, it was 4 floors of all sorts of different things, and that was cool to finally go in there and see that there was more there. I, coming into it, obviously we were coming to see the Batman exhibit, but I kind of had in my head, yeah, we'll probably be done with this place in 20 minutes. We'll probably, you know, stretch it out and, you know, take some breaks or whatever, but we'll probably be done in like 20 minutes. And I think it was more like an hour and a half or something that we were in there. Yeah, I don't know that we really stopped and took a lot of time at any one particular thing outside of the Batman exhibit, but it was, just more than I was expecting to be in there. I'm glad we finally did stop. And, you know, $15 coming into it, I was like, I don't know about $15. I mean, obviously we paid it and we were going to and stuff, but after going through, I definitely think it was worth the $15 to go in. And then it actually connects to Mel's Diner, so that was nice to finally go there also, because I'd never been to either of those places, even though we've walked by and been in this vicinity numerous occasions. I just never did, and so glad we finally did. And it was cool to see the different costumes and things that they had on display. And as you said, it was more recent and stuff than I was expecting also. I really didn't know what to expect going into it. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting because it is so much stuff that we do appreciate, and the fact that we've never been compelled to go in is kind of strange to me. I'm not sure why we would have never, it's never come up. I mean, even with the Halloween exhibit that they had, it ended in November. I can't remember what it was called, but it was some sort of horror theme thing. And the fact that I didn't even see that until after it had ended is kind of just really weird to me. Whenever there's anything that's going on that's something that we're into, and because we're both actively on, you know, social media, and I'm actively looking for different conventions or things that we may miss and stuff. So whenever there's anything that we do miss, it's a little annoying to me, for one, because I feel like we should know these things and stuff, and if we're looking for them, how do we not find them? And so, I don't know how we missed this or haven't been here before, but I'm glad we have now, and definitely enjoyed it.
I think you bring up a good point about the whole Max Factor link, because I think as I'm kind of thinking to myself of like, okay, so what has been the thing that's kept us from giving it a try before, is the whole Max Factor building and So it's Hollywood Museum, and then even on the website, which the website was difficult for me to kind of, maybe it's just the phone interface with the iPhone or whatever, but it just wasn't the easiest thing to navigate to tell, like, okay, so wait, there's a Max Factor part, and then there's a Hollywood Museum. Are these, like, two separate admission? Is it one thing? And I wasn't even fully sure when we got there. Like, there was a table in the front corridor area, and we just paid at, like, this little table. But the Max Factor stuff's inside, but I think in my head it was like, okay, so this is a Max Factor museum, which I'm not really interested in this, you know, makeup of Hollywood museum. And then it has some other little Hollywood parts where it probably would be the Marilyn Monroe stuff and Shirley Temple stuff, which would be fine, but it's not like my primary interest. So not thinking there'd be anything for, you know, all of this other stuff, Superman and Planet of the Apes and et cetera, et cetera. So this obviously forced us to go in, or not forced us, but it was a reason to want to go check it out. And then it's like, oh, okay, so that's what it is. So I think there might, you know, a redesign of the website might be in order. But regardless, if you're listening to this, we can vouch that there are things like Harry Potter and Peanuts and Jurassic Park and Star Wars and Star Trek and Monsters, Inc. And I mean, some of the things, very, very small representation. I mean, there's not a ton of Jurassic Park, there's not a ton of Lost, but there are little nods to things, little displays, little things here and there. And there's definitely enough when you put them all together that if you have a wide interest in the world of comics and sci-fi and superheroes and pop culture and all that, there'll be things there to entertain you for sure. So definitely recommend checking it out and, yeah, having a good time with it.
And we mentioned parking at the high school across the street, but obviously if it's midweek and there's school going on, that parking's not going to be open. But it is kind of catty corner from the Lowe's parking at Highland and Hollywood and Highland. So you can also park at the mall and you can get your parking validated. And I think parking there max for the day is like 15, which is pretty reasonable for LA standards. So yeah, tying in the Hollywood Museum, the Wax Museum, the Ripley's, believe it or not, and then going kind of on the other side of the street there, and you can, there's a Ghirardelli with the Disney stuff, and you can see Minnie's new star there, and I guess Jimmy Fallon also records there, but there are in the next building over in that area. So it's definitely something that you can spend a whole afternoon, if not a full day, you know, going to these different little locations and stuff. And then there's the Snow White Cafe, which is on this across the street there too. And you know, that's not the, hasn't been the best experience for us, but it is cool to go in there and kind of see the murals and stuff. So, and they have a bar in there. So yeah, there's definitely, you know, several things you can do there. And Mel's was a good experience too. If you've, I've kind of just wondered, just seeing it going by, I wasn't sure, you know, what it was, but it was good food, it was good service, and it is kind of like, it is a diner and stuff, and so I'm sure on some days it's really busy. We were able to walk in and sit down right away, so I'm sure all of these places are better midweek than on the weekend. We're here on a Saturday, and it wasn't, none of that was too bad, but there's definitely plenty to do within walking distance in that little area there.
Yeah, it's a fun little spot. Definitely touristy, but touristy can be fun at times, and it definitely is. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up here, and we're going to make our way then to Universal Studios to take a look at the new year 2018, celebrating the year of dog of the dog at their Lunar New Year celebration. All right, we are back to talk about the Lunar New Year festivities at Universal Studios Hollywood. Really, I think there's a lot more to say. I mean, I don't know how much we're going to have to say here, but just it was a very different experience in terms of, I mean, the interaction, in terms of the offerings. There was just a whole lot more going on with it, and so that was really cool, and I'm glad that we got to experience it. I should say right up front, we do have several videos up on the YouTube channel, everything from kind of an overview one to just a couple minutes of Mr. Ping and Megatron and the both of the new shows, which we'll talk about that they offer on the stage there. And so, yeah, a lot of cool things to share there. Definitely more video, I think, than we've taken of that event in maybe since the very first year that we covered it. So it was really neat to see so much more going on there with it. And I know for me, leaving it, it's something that I feel like is going to be a real, you know, a good suggestion of something for people to do if they're interested in celebrating Lunar New Year. And obviously DCA has done what they've done over the last few years, and they've kind of gotten to a point where it seems like it's mostly pretty consistent in what it is. I mean, they expanded a bit more last year, but it's about what it is. And definitely this one has a lot more interactive elements, I think, than Disney does at the end of the day, in terms of things of getting kids up off of the ground, or getting them on the ground in some cases, to get them involved and to get them out there playing. So maybe let's kind of just look at the event. We'll go counterclockwise from kind of the entry point there. So, I mean, all of it takes place in the center there of the park at the upper lot at the Universal Plaza. And you're greeted at the very beginning before you enter with Megatron in his Mandarin-speaking form. So English-speaking Megatron still appears in the lower lot. But up top, this has been a few years now that this has been going on, as Megatron is speaking Mandarin. And there was a big line to meet and greet with him. A lot of people that didn't seem to know what he was saying. I know I didn't know what he was saying, but his body language speaks a lot. Lots of trying to make people flip. Lynch, and mostly succeeding at that, and fun. I like Megatron speaking English because I understand the English, and it's fun listening to him mock people and all that. But, you know, so it's not a big thing for me, but it's definitely cool for those that are able to understand him. I know there was a couple people when I was taking video that ran up. They basically, not that they cut the line, but they kind of went in through the exit, and they freaked out the Universal team members because they were so excited about him speaking Mandarin, and they started yelling at him in, I believe it was Mandarin as well, and they were going back and forth. Basically, it seemed yelling at each other, but they seemed like super jazzed that, you know, this character was speaking their language, and so a very cool little inclusion there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really impressive to me how much was added this year. I wasn't expecting that much. Even having read the press release, there was more there than was even in the press release, which, as we're going around counterclockwise, we'll go over those things. But yeah, it was really impressive, and Megatron is always intimidating, and that doesn't change when he's speaking Mandarin. He still is.
And then once entering the plaza there, the first thing immediately to the right is you have Mr. Ping's noodle shop. And this is set up very much like Donkey from Shrek, in terms of the meet and greet that they have there over on the opposite side, over where they're building the DreamWorks theater now, right across the way from there. And it was really cool seeing him interact. I mean, I've always thought what Universal does, or I shouldn't say always, but definitely for the last several years, what Universal does with their meet and greets is really pretty awesome. I mean, they do some really neat things there, whether it be the Raptor experience, or it is the, you know, the wand experience in Ollivander's. I mean, there's a lot of really unique, outside-the-box thinking character meet and greets. And Donkey for Shrek is really cool, because, I mean, they've got it set up. It's obviously a puppet, but you've got this big, you know, setup, in his case, a wagon. And so for Mr. Ping, he is behind the counter at his noodle shop. He's got a kitchen there. There's a counter that the guests are able to wander up to and stand at and talk to him. And much like Donkey, he fully engages them in a couple-minute conversation. I mean, as I was doing video, I think he got through two groups of people in about 5.5 minutes. So it's not a fast-moving line if you're in that line, but it's a very cool experience. Once you get to the front, you're getting some real interaction there. The photo is kind of the second thought of the whole experience there, in terms of how they have it set up. I mean, Mr. Ping greets you and talks about all sorts of things, specifically plugging his noodles and his profit that he's aiming for in terms of the making of the food. And then adjacent to it is a bar, and they are actually selling food there as well. Or not an alcohol bar, but a bar to kind of sit at and kind of watch Mr. Ping at the noodle bar.
Yeah, kind of like a counter service situation, and yeah, that type of counter bar type thing, to be able to see that. So yeah, it was really surprised that they were serving actual food that you can actually purchase. That's very different than Donkey's meet and greet, because yeah, the building looked permanent, kind of, where the meet and greet was, and yeah, just around the corner there, or on the other side of it, was an actual place that you could go up and actually order food. They had
looking at, I took a picture of the menu. Okay, they have stir-fry noodles, but it says secret ingredient stir-fry noodles. And they have beef, chicken, tofu, or shrimp. And the beef, chicken, and tofu are $9.99, and the shrimp is $10.49. And then they have Uruguay egg noodles. It's chicken served with sweet chili sauce for $4.99. Then Poe's pot stickers, steamed pork served with spicy soy sauce for $7.99. And then they have Dragon Warrior Bao barbecue pork bun served with soy sauce, also for $7.99. So we didn't actually eat any of that. There was a significant line and we had kind of just eaten, so we weren't particularly hungry. But seeing what other people had, that, you know, looked good, and they seemed to be decent serving sizes. I mean, it wasn't a huge serving of noodles, but it was a good size, and the egg rolls seemed larger than what I'm used to seeing egg rolls and stuff. And so it smelled good, it looked good, and the prices at that, I guess, about reasonable. I mean, it's a unique type of food, and you would get more food if you went to, you know, Panda Express or something like that. But it's obviously not in the theme park like that. And, well, obviously there's Panda Express down in the lower lot, but in this Lunar New Year experience, it, you know, it's cool that there was this different type of food offering and this different setup that felt, you know, kind of organic with the meet and greet. And it's just this restaurant, and the proprietors over on one side meeting people, and on the other side they're serving food. It seemed very kind of natural. It was pretty cool.
It's a good word for it, organic, because it did. I mean, it was, you were at the noodle shop, you were at the noodle bar there, and it just all fit very well. So, I mean, it really looked as if the employees were serving you from within the kitchen on the other side of where Mr. Ping was set up. So I think that's a really great addition. It's awesome that they were, you know, wanting to push it. I'm pretty sure when we covered this event last year, I mean, I think we podcasted on it, I think we talked about it, but I know for sure you and I have talked about it, just wanting to see them push the envelope and do a little bit more. And that's definitely one major change there, of adding that Mr. Ping's experience, and there's more that we'll get to here as we go. And so also kind of just to the right of Mr. Ping's in the counter service area, there's a quick little meet and greet similar to Megatron, where it's more outside the plaza, kind of on the walkway there. But this one right across from the DreamWorks Theater, opposite of the side of where Donkey and Shrek are still doing their meet and greet, they have the Minions there. And so we saw one Minion. It seemed like they were having one at a time, but they were dressed in Chinese garb and had different robes on and things like that, and were meeting and greeting with a Lunar New Year backdrop. Nothing real special there outside of it just being the Minions, and the Minions are incredibly popular. People love them, and so adding them into the experience makes sense. Notice Curious George wasn't there as part of it. Curious George has been there as part of the whole Lunar New Year festivities for many years now, and Woody Woodpecker as well, and Winnie, and so they were not there either. And so it seemed like really it's a focus on Kung Fu Panda for sure. That's the big thrust, and then Megatron and the Minions kind of being complementary parts to that. Back to the inside the plaza, at the center of the plaza, they did have the trees again, where you're able to hang your wishes. They have little cards that you're able to fill out and kind of wishing for the brand new year. And so those were hung and, you know, look beautiful as always there. And then probably the biggest change of anything, well, maybe not, I guess we'll talk about another thing or two, but the addition of the stage right there, you know, dead kind of at the head of the plaza there, which they're really using for three different things, kind of alternating around. So they've got Tigress and Poe for meet and greets, and so that's fine, and that's something that they had last year. I believe last year was the first year Tigress was added to the mix, but Poe's been there for a while. It's a cool little meet and greet, but they also added two shows, a Lunar New Year storytelling component where the kids gather around and participate. They're given different items to hold up and bang drums and wind, make sounds for the wind and and things like that. And that's a little about 10-minute show of the kids interacting with the storyteller there, of learning the history of the Lunar New Year. And then following that is the Kung Fu Academy, where you've got a trainer, and it's very kind of Jedi Training Academy vibe to it from Disneyland, where kids are getting up on stage and interacting with Poe, learning these various combat moves and getting ready to train, and all part of the festivities. But two things there, you know, in addition to the meet and greet, that are getting kids up and having them participate in being part of the story. You know, that's kind of the magic of the Jedi Training Academy, is the kids being able to get up there and be Jedi, you know, for that moment. And as a kid, I've got to imagine that blows your mind. And so likewise here, if you're into Kung Fu Panda, or just, you know, maybe you've not even seen it, but you're just spending your day at Universal Studios, and you're able to now get on stage with this character, interact, try these different poses. What a great photo op, great video op for the families. And each of the shows, the storytelling and the Kung Fu Academy, last just about 10 minutes. And so they have it set up where it's like 4:30, 4:40, and then 4:50 or something like that. So you've got basically the Lunar New Year story, you've got the Kung Fu Academy, and then, you know, everybody's hyped up and excited about Poe and all the stuff they've seen the kids doing their moves. And then it's like, hey, hang out, and Poe's going to come right back out here with Tigress for photo ops. So, you know, if a kid wasn't chosen to be on stage, or maybe they wandered up late and weren't fully a part of it, now they're able to still get in line and get their time with the characters. And so it's a very kind of smooth transition of those three parts of entertainment just kind of flowing one from one into the next.
And the stage, according to the press release, is actually called the DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda Jade Palace Performance Stage. And yeah, that was cool to see that. I mean, it's basically in the place where the Christmas tree is for Grinchmas, right in that area. And yeah, it's not a huge stage, but it's definitely present, and it has kind of the palace type look to it. It's great that there's these three things that are occurring there, and because they are relatively short, you know, people weren't camping out necessarily, or they were sitting, but they weren't sitting there for hours waiting for it. They were there probably like 10-15 minutes before the shows were going and stuff. And so it was fun, and the kids seemed to be really enjoying it. And it was cool because they had taken the volunteers for the tale of the Lunar New Year storytelling experience. And then when they were asking for volunteers for the Kung Fu Academy, they were specifically looking for children who had not volunteered before, that had not participated. So it kind of spreads the experiences out, which I think was cool. And so, you know, as many kids as possible. I think for the academy, there were probably 8 kids up there, maybe. Might need to count them, just think back for sure, maybe 10. Yeah, it was really cute. And that, yeah, I think was around 10 minutes. And I think the storytelling, actually, because I was recording it, I think the recording was only like 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes. So even less than 10 minutes. But yeah, the fact that they went from one thing to the next was pretty cool, and really packed in quite a bit into a relatively small time. I mean, I stood there and recorded the two shows, and I mean, my arms may have gotten a little tired from holding up camera, but my legs weren't tired. I wasn't tired from standing there or anything like that. So that was really cool. And the fact that there was all these extra things that weren't there in the past, so I thought was really nice to experience and get these changes and stuff to brighten things up and change things up. I thought it was really cool. And those were really cool shows. And yeah, I was definitely reminded of Jedi training during the Kung Fu Academy, because it was kind of similar in that, you know, they went through and were trained in their moves, and then one at a time they went up and did the moves with Poe up there. So it was pretty cool, and the kids seemed to enjoy it. And I heard more of the parents, how much they were enjoying it, because they were, you know, sitting and watching their kids up there. And there were several that when their kid went up there, they got really animated and really excited. And it was cute. One of the boys up there really got into his kick, because part of the moves is a kick, and he really did it. And like, everybody in the crowd was, you know, cheering for him and stuff. So it was cute. Everybody was just enjoying themselves. It was really fun.
And going back to, you know, something we mentioned at the top, is it everything like literally everything at this event is interactive for the kids. There's nothing that's passive. And that's an interesting contrast to what DCA, what Disney's done with their Lunar New Year festivities, where it has been, there's neat character meet and greets, and there's all sorts of different entertainment at various stages and things like that. And they're all fine, but, you know, a lot of the things are passive in that you're watching them. I mean, obviously, character meet and greets, you're interacting, but the shows, mostly you're watching them, and that's fine, but this is much more in line with what we've saw at Knott's Berry Farm for their peanut celebration, where nearly everything, maybe everything at the peanut celebration, but nearly everything, was, again, kids getting up and getting involved, and so the same thing here. So the kids are out there burning energy and becoming part of the performances or interacting with the characters, or next step as we make our way kind of around the circle there is this little drawing academy that they had, which is similar, again, the idea of the animation academy over at DCA at Disneyland, or the new, what is it called, Sketch School, as they call it, at Knott's for their peanut celebration. But in this case, they called it Feng the Palace Artist Stand. So you learn to draw, and they had a variety of characters throughout the day. It started out with Poe, and then from Poe it went to Viper, then Crane, then Mantis, then Monkey, and it finished off at 4 o'clock with Tigress. So every about hour or so, doing these different little drawing lessons, and they were allowing, there's some benches in front, and then there's people also standing, but they would give you, these hard things to write on, and then they would give you the pad of paper, and they'd basically walk you through, and you'd have your own souvenir to take with you as whatever you drew. And then it was interesting, so let's say, you know, for example, Poe was at 10:30, and then the next one was Viper at 11:30, so Poe would finish up, you know, 10:50, let's say, something like that, and then they would immediately go to doing face painting. So the same guy, at least what we saw, he was teaching the lessons, and then the lessons were over, or the lesson was over, and then kids would jump in the chair and get, you know, a character painted on their face. And so I thought that was pretty neat little thing there. Again, very interactive, not passive at all. Kids are up and doing things. Adults are up and doing things. Everybody's involved in it, and you get a cool souvenir to take home for free there, whatever it is that you sketch out. And so this was kind of interesting seeing that, because for us, I think for years, you know, with the Animation Academy at Disney, it's like, okay, that's a cool thing. It's very fun and unique. And then within the span of a couple weeks to see it pop up at Knott's Berry Farm, and then also now to pop up there. This is definitely a much smaller scale, the way they have it set up. It was a very, very small area. I want to say maybe only 15 or so people, maybe 20 at most, could sit. But they were also going around. They had team members there handing out clipboard so people could draw even if they're standing. I saw several people that came, you know, midway through the lesson, and they were still giving them out and letting them join in and try to catch up. So that was a really cool little inclusion. And it was also adjacent to a merchandise booth, which to my knowledge had much more merchandise specific to the event than there's ever been before. There was a designated t-shirt that had Poe on it for 2018 Lunar New Year. There was a coffee mug for the Lunar New Year. There was a flower crown and a handful of other things. And so all of that kind of finishing out the circle there. But definitely the Feng the Palace Artist Stand. It seems like a really odd name to me. But anyway, Feng the Palace Artist Stand, a very cool kind of little opportunity there for families.
Yeah, that was cool. On the press release, they actually describe it as the immersive event will also feature veteran DreamWorks animators who will demonstrate practical techniques of drawing their favorite Kung Fu Panda characters as keepsake mementos. So I guess they're veteran DreamWorks animators that are teaching it. So that's cool to learn from actual experienced people doing that. But yeah, it was really cool. And again, everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves, and you know, who doesn't enjoy drawing, learning to draw characters and stuff, and being able to sit and experience that and in this different type of environment was really cool. And I, again, impressed that there was this all these changes, and that being a really cool one of those, and to be able to walk away with a souvenir that doesn't cost anything extra is a really cool thing. So get a skill and an actual drawing to go with, to leave with. That's always a cool thing.
Yeah, all in all, I mean, I've liked the event from the beginning there. The, you know, the wishing trees, or the plum, they call them the plum blossom wishing trees at the center of the plaza just make for a really nice addition there. The red lanterns hanging about, and it's just, it's always a nice vibe there. It feels very positive, it's very hopeful. It's, a, you know, always celebrating the new year, but all these additions of entertainment, I mean, we spent probably an hour and a half or so in there, just getting video of everything, photos of everything, watching everything. And so, you know, neither of us were getting in there and trying to learn, you know, get on stage with the kids for the Kung Fu Academy or anything like that. But it was just fun watching it all. And it was, you know, again, kind of that smaller scale interactive walk around entertainment where you could pop in and pop out of things. No long waits for anything except some of those character meet and greets. I mean, definitely Pings was taking a while and stuff. But if you wanted to just kind of stand off to the side and watch the character, if you didn't need your own interaction with the character, that was available and very cool. So again, you know, we always talk about with park events, you know, the differences between a hard ticket event and a, you know, included in price, you know, added value type event. And this is definitely that added value. I mean, there's not any extra price, and I don't think people would want to pay for a hard ticket for something as small scale as this, but this is a really nice little touch. It's a really nice little extra thing right now at the park, so definitely a reason to get out to Universal Studios to check it out, whether you celebrate the Lunar New Year or not. It's definitely a fun thing to see. It goes until February 25th, so we have a little bit longer that it will be out there, but definitely good stuff there. Congrats to all involved in putting together this event and really taking it forward a big step. You know, competition is good for the fans. It's really good for all of us that love going to the park, especially for people like you and I that go to a lot of parks a lot of the time. And so, you know, love seeing this, and hopefully this kind of is something that inspires Disney to take it up a little bit more next year as well, because they've definitely made some big moves in terms of the type of entertainment they're offering and the interactive elements that they're offering, and just the overall vibe of the event was something on a whole different level than what it's been in the past. It really has gone from just kind of a meet and greet experience, you know, with a little bit of food and things like that thrown into a whole world of fun there right at the center of the park, and something that definitely the kids look like they're having a good time with. Families look like they're having a good time. We were having a good time with it. So good stuff all the way around.
Yeah, definitely. It's awesome when there are changes, and we, you know, talk about it quite a bit on the podcast with, you know, different events, and it's always nice when things are refreshed or tweaked or anything like that to, you know, for there to be incentive to go back. And we would be there regardless, even if it was the exact same thing as last year. But this podcast would be a lot shorter because it would basically be, yeah, so pretty much the same as last year. You know, there's this, this, and this, and that's it. But they made lots of changes for this year, and I think that that's great. And it's always awesome when the parks make tweaks and make changes and, yeah, basically give you some reason to go back.
Definitely. And with that, let's go ahead and take a look at the calendar of things we have coming up here in the next month or so. So first up, this coming up weekend, we've got Gallifrey 1 returns, the big Doctor Who convention, February 15th through the 18th. Also that weekend, Strategicon, their next show, OrcCon, taking place February 15th through the 18th. Long Beach Comic Expo, February 17th through the 18th. And I should say with pretty much all of these, you can head over to parksandcons.com on the homepage there to check out the calendar. Links to sometimes more than even we have on this list. March 2nd, we've got DCA kicking off their next season of the Food and Wine Festival. West Coaster Toy Show, March 4th. Santa Clarita Comic Expo, March 11th. Knott's Boysenberry Festival begins March 16th. Claremont Comic Show, March 18th. And then the for us, at least, the first, you know, really big show of the year in terms of attendance, size, all that. that. WonderCon over in Anaheim, March 23rd through the 25th. We'll have prep guides coming and all sorts of fun stuff getting ready for that show. Please help support the show by using the affiliate links on our website. It doesn't cost you anything extra and does help support the show. If you've not already done so, please consider leaving us reviews on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. You can always find us on social media, Parks and Cons on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. Wrapping up for a couple great events. Until next time, we'll see you in line.
Thank you for listening to the Parks and Cons podcast. Join us again next time for more news, notes, and discussions on the intersection of awesome, where conventions, themed entertainment, collecting, and general geek goodness collide. For past podcast episodes, a link to our YouTube channel, photo galleries, and articles, please visit our website at parksandcons.com. We appreciate your feedback, so if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please send us an email at comments@parksandcons.com. Help us add to the community if you enjoy our work by recommending us to your friends or simply leave the show a positive review on our Apple Podcasts or Stitcher pages. As always, thank you for listening to the Parks and Cons podcast, and look for us in line somewhere. The Parks and Cons podcast is not affiliated with the conventions, theme parks, or other entities mentioned during the podcast. All trademarks are the properties of the respective trademark owners. Parks and Cons is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. For more information about the show, visit us at parksandcons.com or email us at comments@parksandcons.com. This podcast is copyright 2018 by parksandcons.com.